The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Zen Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Here in the Boston area, we're still waiting for the snow to start. If you're west of here in New England, it may have started for you. Maybe you're in a place where snow is not an issue at all this weekend. But here in Waltham, it's going to start in a few hours, and I'm excited. I love the snow. It makes me really happy. This may have begun because I grew up in a place, Seattle, where there was enough snow that we had sleds, but so little snow that we only got to use our sleds about every third year. So a snowfall was really a wonderful thing. And that child that got so excited is still here. I also love the snow now, though, because I love the way that it softens contours and the way that it erodes lines. And so if it snows enough, yard and sidewalk and street, usually separated by long vertical lines, horizontal lines, suddenly become an undifferentiated white, at least before the plows come. I love to see that. And if it keeps snowing, the shrubs disappear into that. And if it really snows, even the parked cars become just mounds, waves in this undulating field of snow. That speaks to me in some subtle way about the way things are. We see the world in terms of all these distinctions and bounding lines, but is it really that way? A few days ago, I was in the Green Mountains in Vermont, backpacking, and where the place that I happened to go to had just an inch or two of snow. It was really lovely. And after I'd climbed up a steep hillside and then rounded the hill, I found myself walking into this large forest, of deciduous trees. And all of them, every branch, every twig on every branch, all of them were bare, except that they weren't bare, because all of them, even down to the smallest twig, all of them were coated with snow. And I walked on and I found myself in the middle of maybe 1,000 trees. And it was beautiful beyond words. And what it looked like was not 1,000 different trees, but it looked like this intricate network, this kind of lace work, but with wild forms rather than studied forms. And being who I am, I couldn't help thinking of Indra's net, the web of interconnection, this real experience of interpenetration we can have that ignores all the usual bounding lines and helps us understand ourselves as intimately and intricately interconnected with all beings and all forms, not separate, not freestanding. And so I like the snow. I see the snow as a kind of Dharma teacher. I think there's something dreamlike about snow, or maybe I want to say there's something snow-like about dreams, because in dreams too, all the usual contours are softened and forms start to interpenetrate, but in a much more flagrant way, kind of kaleidoscopic. Anything can become anything in a dream. They stream along and we stream with them, and landscapes shift and cityscapes shift and interiors shift, and we shift too. You can be a different gender in a dream. You can certainly be a different age in a dream. I have had the experience of dying in a dream and finding myself in a bardo realm. And this too is quite intriguing to me, this experience where boundaries lose their power. And I just find myself going with it. I don't step back and say, this can't be real. This can't turn into this. I can't be 30 years old again. I'm not a woman. No, I just, it's all interesting. And what's going to happen next? I think, and this may be a surprising place to go, I think there's something dreamlike about our koan, as Melissa expounded it to us this morning. Beginning with this central image of a person who's holding on to a branch by his teeth, but his hands can't reach the branch. I don't know, does anyone else have a problem with that? Ever since we were babies, we've been using our hands to put things in our mouths, sometimes to take things out of our mouths. And and it just goes against my whole motoric imagination to imagine that my arms can't reach to something my teeth are hanging on to. It's, if you try to visualize it, is this person's arms just really, really short? Is this person's neck just really, really long? That way, suddenly we're in Alice in Wonderland, seeing those Tennille drawings of Alice with a huge giraffe-like neck. But that's not helpful. In a dream, we would just accept it, right? In a dream, you're hanging by your teeth, and you're like, "Yeah, I can't use my arms," so you just take it for granted that the arms won't work. You don't question it. And I'm thinking of Anne's comment during the Dharma dialogue. This person who shows up out of nowhere, also kind of a dreamlike event. And not to say, just hang on, I'll be back with a ladder. Or, try, give it another couple of minutes, I'll be back with a rope and some friends. No, this person says, why did Bodhidharma come from the West? What a dreamlike moment that is, of all the things to say. Where did this come from? Here we are in that flowing alogic or illogic or non-logic of dreams that we sometimes call, ironically, dream logic. This is something that the koans can share. This happy abandonment of rational thinking, to appeal to another part of our mind that is non-rational or irrational, that we don't use or haven't been trained to use nearly as much as we've been trained to use our school mind, our rational mind, but more like the part of our minds that we dream with, the part of our minds that we respond to poetry and to emotion with. And to point out the dreamlike qualities of this koan is not for me to remove it from our lives, to put it in some other place. It really, for me, just makes it more relevant than ever to our lives, because our lives themselves, which we call real in this world that we think of as real, are really kind of dreamlike in their own way, or so the Buddhist tradition has long taught us. One of the Tibetan Buddhist Lojong slogans that we studied together some years back at one of our last coming and going sesshin, this is the second Lojong slogan, in fact, says, see everything as a dream. Another translation is, all dharmas are dreams. See everything as a dream. Because, in fact, what we see is not real. We don't see the world as it is. No, finite being can. We use the senses we have, we use the brains we have, we use the patterns that we've inherited from our culture and our language, and in some cases, our genetics. And if we were bees, if we were bats, if we were octopi, would be a very different world. None of them real, all of them partial. So the tradition tells us, see everything as a dream. The Lojong wisdom proverb is really just restating something that the Buddha says at the end of the Diamond Sutra in verse, something that the Buddha says to Subhuti. He says, as a lamp, a cataract, a star in space, an illusion, a dewdrop, a bubble, a dream, a cloud, a flash of lightning. View all created things like this. So here we are in this world of dreams. And yet, like the person hanging from the branch, we still have to do something. Here's someone, here's a being coming to us, addressing us as bodhisattvas, saying, in effect, please show me the way. Please point me along the Tao. Point me towards the Tao. Give me a turning word. Why did Bodhidharma come from the West? And I'll leave you with the question that Melissa Roshi left us with earlier. What will you say? What will you do? Thank you.